Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Nancy Windrock and Roger Goose. How are you guys?
Good. Well done.
Wonderful.
Excellent. You guys are from a company called Environmental Packaging Technologies, or EPT. Does that sound about right?
Yep, that's correct.
You guys produce plastic bags. Is that a fair comment?
Well, a plastic bag is probably something you'd find in a trash can. We produce plastic tanks.
Plastic tank.
And they go in a 20-foot container, and we load 24,000 litres of wine in them.
And so it's bulk shipping of wine, really, is your business. Or not just wine, though. It's all sorts of products.
No, we use the flexi tanks for shipping wine, and we ship fruit juice and vegetable oils and lubricating oils and all sorts of non-hazardous chemicals also.
But you've produced a new type of tank specifically for wine, is that correct?
Yeah, we have, and that's what we're exhibiting at the show today.
We're at the London International Wine Fair at the moment. Just as a big background sort of thing, bulk shipping of wine, some people don't like it, some people like it. I like it because it's environmentally friendly, and it's a way of getting wine to these shores in a cost-effective way. But what do you see as the benefits of bulk shipping wine around the world?
Well, the main benefit is the wine producer can get his product to market a lot cheaper than conventional methods of moving it. So the consequence is that a country or a wine-producing region like California, over the last 8 to 10 years, it's increased its wine production and exports dramatically because it can now find a way of getting its product to the UK, for instance, a lot cheaper than sending it in bottles or in tank containers.
Just to explain a wee bit of who you two are, Nancy, what's your role in the company?
I am president of the company. I've been with them for about 3 years now. It's been a wild ride. We're a relatively new company 3 years ago, and I was brought on to help bring a startup company up to where we are today, which is a global organization.
And what does Roger do?
Roger actually does a little bit of everything. His official title is he's vice president of sales and operations for EPT Global. So all of our sales force globally takes their direction from Roger. He's also taken us to new realms this last year since he joined us a little over a year ago.
What are they?
Roger's been in the business for 25 plus years. He's actually probably the Mr. Original Flexi Tank. Flexi tanks have been around for a long time. But when he came on, he actually gave us a direction that we needed as a company to get into markets such as wine. He's been dealing with the wine industry for many, many years, and so he was very instrumental in how we presented ourselves to wine customers.
Okay, because there's a few competitors out there. Hallibrand is a big logistics company, and I understand they own a flexi tank company as well.
Actually, yes, they do. There's a few companies out there. As far as the primary leaders in the industry, the way we distinguish ourselves from them, obviously, our product is one of those, but one of the other differences is, as you mentioned, Hildebrand owns the company TOD, and Braid Logistics, I believe is the name, owns the company Braid, which also manufactures. So basically, they are logistics companies who happen to sell flexi tanks, and we're a flexi tank manufacturer who happens to do logistics should their customers need it. So we're basically independent. We provide a quality product to our customers, and if they need the logistical services, we offer it. But if they don't, then we provide a supply fit scenario for them.
In terms of logistics, is it logistics by sea freight, or do you use flexi tank on rail or road?
Okay, well, being from Europe originally, I look on North America, which is Canada, USA, and Mexico is just one area. So we have an operation running now where we are moving soap paste in flexi tanks from Kansas City to Mexico City. We then take the flexi tank out in Mexico City, reposition the container to Guadalajara, and load tequila to San Jose. Then we take that same container down to a place near to Bakersfield in Southern California, put another flexi tank in, load wine to the Niagara region of Canada, take the flexi tank out, move the container over to Saskatchewan, and then load canola oil down to Memphis, and then take the flexi tank out, take it back to Kansas City, and start all over again.
Okay, so it's quite efficient then, because you're not doing any empty returns or anything like that.
No. And the other benefit...
Is it all on rail or is it on road?
It's rail all the time.
Because the road's not very environmental.
No, no. And that's the other benefit, is that we're taking 5 or 6 trucks off the road, which over the year could equate to about 130 tons of carbon coming out of the atmosphere.
Okay. And let's say you've got a Californian wine going to the UK. Mm-hmm. Where would you load it up? And would it cross America on a train first, or does it get loaded up in the ports on the West Coast?
No, we load it and ship it out the West Coast, either Oakland or LA.
Okay. And then does it go through the Panama Canal?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, it'll go through the Panama. And then normally, if it's coming to the UK, it'll come into Felixstowe or Southampton and then get redistributed from there.
Well, let's talk a bit about the tank itself. You've just recently released this tank. So did you have a wine product before that? Or is this an upgraded product tank type of tank?
Yeah, this is the sum total of a great deal of testing that EPT has done over the last 18 months. And although it had a tank, this new tank has been developed simply for wine. It's a different color. It's our regular tank is a red tank. This one is a
burgundy.
Yeah, purple, you know. And we also, it's an EVOH barrier tank, and the EVOH is the barrier that stops the moisture or a gas ingress. We also have what we call a wear sleeve in the container. And the floor of the wear sleeve, or the bottom of the wear sleeve, is is made of aluminium. And it is integrated into a polypropylene cover that goes on the walls of the container. And the whole piece of equipment is coated on either side with a polyethylene material. So it's actually helps on transmission rates. So the transmission rates on our flexi tank is very, very good, or very low, I should say.
I've heard of EVOH before. We've got a guy who makes corks, or I've interviewed a guy called from Bacchus Wine Closures who makes corks. I'm pretty sure they use EVOH on the corks themselves, just on either end. It's a clear plasticky type polymer, isn't it, that has a very good oxygen ingress.
Yes, yeah.
And is that what you're using it for?
Absolutely, yeah. And if you buy the wine in the box, then there's an EVOH layer around the plastic bag that holds the wine in the box.
They often have foil there, and you said you've only using the foil almost as a wear area.
So on the floor of the container.
So it doesn't wear out. Why wouldn't you just use aluminium bag all the way around?
Because it's... with the equipment that we have and the configuration of the tank, it's not necessary. There are some companies that do use a foil all the way around the tank. One of the problems with that is that the foil can tend to split in transit, so then you lose the benefit of the barrier. With the EVOH, that gives us the full benefit, and with the aluminum on the floor of the container, it stops any possibility. Aluminum is a zero
oxygen
barrier, and so if there, for instance, we don't know what the containers are used for. These are general purpose upgraded containers, and the previous cargo could have been a noxious chemical, or it could have been something nasty, and it could have spilt. We don't know. The floor of the container, be it hardwood, but it's still wood. So there is a possibility that something could seep into that. So by putting the barrier, the aluminum barrier, on the floor, we know that the flexi tank is totally protected.
All right, so is it half aluminum and half...
Yeah, it goes up the wall of the container. It covers the floor completely. and then it goes up the wall of the container 18 inches.
Okay, so to fill up a container, do you fill it up and then try and squeeze it into the container, or how does that work?
No, we have a bottom valve on the flexi tank, and the product is pumped in through that valve. It's a 3-inch what we call a full choke valve, which is 3 inches. It's attached to by what we call a cam lock fitting, and so the product is pumped into the flexi tank
inside the container.
Once
I figured it must be, because it'd be a hell of a job getting it in afterwards.
It would lollop all over the place. But no, we fit the flexi tank into the container, and then deliver it to the load site, pump the product in, and then it ships, gets to its destination, and product's just pumped out again.
Okay, and I presume there's no oxygen in there in the first place, so there's no issues.
No.
Okay, and in terms of the volume space, looking at the pictures you've shown us, it doesn't look like the flex tank fully fills the tank, the container itself. Does it fit snugly in there, or is it?
Yeah, the flexi tank actually is the shape. If you blow it up with air, it's the shape of a very large pillow. So when you put it inside the container, it forms the contour of the container, and the center obviously is the highest point of the container, and that is about 3/4 of the height of the container. So it doesn't fill the container by any means.
What sort of volume?
With wine, we ship 24,000 litres.
Out of a potential volume of?
I have no clue.
Do you think, is it half full, 3/4 full?
No, it's 3/4 full.
3/4 full?
Yeah, yeah, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
So bulk shipping in a container, you're going to get 3/4?
The benefit, though, of, for instance, if you are going to ship drums, just for sake of argument.
I hope no one's shipping drums of wine.
No, but no. Let's say drums of chemicals, just for sake of art, or even vegetable oils. You would ship 80 drums, and that's 4,400 US gallons. For exactly the same freight, you can ship 6,400 gallons in a flexi tank. So this is some of the benefits, the financial benefits to the shipper.
And let me just correct this. When you're shipping via sea, it doesn't matter about the weight, does it? It's all about the volume.
Well, the weight has a bearing on the vessel, because they need to make sure that they stow it correctly.
And they balance it
out. And they have to balance it. But the volume, they don't care, because we have some of the products that we ship. For instance, lubricating oil is less weight than water, obviously. So the volume increases because the weight, the what we call the specific gravity of the product is less. Wine is almost about water, the same weight as water. It's like 0.98 or something.
Yeah, I've drunk some wine that's pretty close to water.
It didn't come in a flexi tank, though.
I don't know what it... No, if I drank it from a flexi tank, I wouldn't have survived it. Excellent. All right. When you're shipping, what about thermal characteristics? You said the aluminium peels away. I presume that's due to heat or something like that. And if you're shipping through the Panama Canal, I imagine that's quite a warm place. Is heat an issue for...
No. Originally, when the first flexi tanks were shipped with wine from California, was roughly, probably around, it started in about 1993, 1994, small amounts of wine, and the winemakers were in those days very concerned about heat. And I remember that we did some trials with thermal blankets, etc. But mostly the wine that is shipped, in fact all wine that's shipped in flexi tanks, normally ships under deck, so the heat is not such an issue.
For customers that are concerned about it, we have what we call thermal liners, which is an aluminum foil-based liner that can line all the sides of the containers, including the top and bottom, which can help reduce heat risk for the wine. Most producers don't require that, and just as Roger was saying, since the containers are shipping under deck, that's usually not an issue.
Okay. What temperature does it get inside a container?
It depends. I've been inside a container in New Orleans where the temperature gets up to 130 degrees.
Fahrenheit.
Yeah, yeah. And in the summer, the container can actually act like an oven.
Yeah, well, that's what I've always worried about.
But you have to remember also that when you're shipping 6,400 gallons of liquid, it does actually take a while for that big mass of liquid to either heat or cool. So normally it hasn't been an issue. And to be honest with you, I have never heard of any wine that has been contaminated through heat gain or loss.
It sounds like you guys, just talking to you now, it sounds like you're very focused on maybe the US bulk shipment market, but the, you know, Australians ship a lot of wine in bulk from Australia. Chile, Argentina, obviously New Zealand wines all go in bottle because it's very stylish stuff.
Yeah.
There's a bit of bulk shipping in New Zealand wine as well. Where is the business for you guys? Is it in America or do you see it being overseas? Or and where are the destinations that bulk wine is being moved about?
In our business, actually, we have developed our company over the last couple of years. And I talk about California wine because, you know, it's nearest and dearest to my heart. But we have an operation in Chile. We have our own office there. We have our own employees in Chile. We have our own operation in Argentina as well with our own employees. We have an operation in South Africa and also in Australia as well. This is for the wine. We have other offices, but this is basically for the wine. And the destinations, Australia is becoming very large in USA. So there's a lot of bulk wine shipping into the USA, as is Europe. South Africa is a bigger in Europe than it is in, especially the UK, than it is in the USA. California is both mainland Europe and the UK and Scandinavia. Scandinavia is also a very large importer of bulk wines.
Okay. I've heard that I was just going to a seminar yesterday and they drink as much wine as English people, which is like very impressive.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. And that is impressive. That is impressive. Yeah. But there's a lot of cold, long nights over there. So.
Yeah, you need a nice warm red.
Yeah, exactly.
We found with the South American wines that they do both a large volume of it here to the UK and now to the US, but a large portion of their bulk shipments also go to China and Russia.
Okay. Now, that makes sense. I've been talking to people in China, and they use a lot of foreign wines to pack out their local stuff.
Yeah, they don't have the same rules and regulations, so they're a lot more open to use the wine in different ways, let's put it that way. And so both Russia and China are really rapidly growing markets, and even India apparently is a growing market as well, which surprises me.
For importing or exporting?
Well, they're exporting wine from, or trying to, they're growing their own grapes there, but I believe that there is a growing market for importing and bottling there as well, which surprises me a little bit because I thought that was maybe a religious, you know.
No, the Hindus, they're allowed to drink, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's Pakistani, the Muslims.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry,
so
India.
They split apart because they didn't get on with the religions. So, yeah, I'd be surprised if you're exporting bulk to Pakistan. But
yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the cows you got to worry about. It's the beef burgers at McDonald's. Yeah, you can have a beef burger with a glass of red wine and offend both the Pakistanis and the Indians.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay then, guys. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.